It's time for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. I'm your host with the jokes from the class of 1994 Dauber and from the class of 1998. I almost forgot. It's the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D, and he wants to LFG today. Wow, Sammy.
Yes.
Sammy.
Yeah, I've been fighting the cold all week. I've been rip-roaring, ready to go for today's podcast, breaking down the St. Joe's game and Richmond's game as well. And so, and then I'm excited because Friday will be in the same arena as Dauber and the Mighty Ramblers. And so, yeah, I'm jacked up. I'm ready to go.
It's so great that you're going to be in the Gentile Arena for the first time since Rick Astley had a hit.
I'm never going to give you up.
Yeah.
Never let you down.
Actually, I don't even know. Is that 80s? I don't even know. Is that 90s?
I think that's a 90s callback.
It feels like it's 90s. Where's my 90s callback?
90s
sign?
Callback.
Oh, here we go.
90s yeah. Callback.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. So
There it is.
That's awesome.
Run around and miss you.
And you staying at the Hampton Inn in beautiful Rogers Park?
I am not staying at the Missouri Valley's Pride and Joy, the Hampton Inn. I am staying
at the official
Dobshoots.
It's the official hotel of the Missouri Valley Conference. Even though we've left, there's still Bradley people coming up to visit.
Meanwhile, in the valley. I'm staying at Papa D's. So
that's cool. All right. So you're bringing, who are you bringing to the game?
I am bringing my father-in-law, Bill Grimm. He thinks he graduated from Dayton because he paid so much money for my wife's education. So he feels like he deserves to be a proud fan of Dayton, so he's coming. I'm trying to make sure that all of his Dayton gear gets lost in baggage. So, so he's coming. It's going to be fun. Julie wanted to come, but she, of course, has to go to England for work. So, you know, yeah.
Well, all of Rambo Nation knew that she was going to England. I mean, I think you mentioned it in the 50th minute of our last podcast. About 10 people heard it.
Yes, she's a world-class engineer, and so she's suffering for Jesus in England. So.
And what did she play in at Dayton? She's in the Dayton Hall of Fame, right? Or the Dayton athlete?
Not quite. She played third base for the Dayton Flyers softball team.
And I remember being at your house once. There was like a home run ball that she hit.
Yep, against Western Kentucky.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool when your wife has a home run ball.
Yep.
I'm a little jealous there. My wife doesn't have any home run balls, but you know, she's good at other things. I'm trying to think of what we were going to talk about first.
But oh, dang it! I knew it. Two losses. You knew the Dark Lord was going to join us. Here we go. Lou, welcome in. Thanks for coming.
Bo, 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 bo. I'm loving it. Hey, Sammy D. It's great to see you, buddy.
Lou, as always, you're here. Great.
Wow, thanks. What a couple of games this week. Are you guys cursed?
It sure feels that way, especially when one looks at the free throws for the opposing team or fouls on our big men.
Oh my gosh, how about that game on Wednesday with that Hawk?
I think many in Rambler Nation wanted to take the Hawk out, especially when he stormed the court at the end. I was a little annoyed that Lou Wolf did not defend the court.
Yeah, exactly. Where did Lou Wolf go? He was like, having a Mai Tai after the game, just putting his feet back while the Hawk desecrated the Loyola thing. Boy, that costume looks like it's from 1957.
It does look like it's a little...
I mean, very well-worn. And I didn't know UIC had an East Coast affiliate. I mean, that team looks ragtag. I don't know. I mean, I just... They look like UIC.
Yeah, I could see that.
They played like UIC, too. They bodied you guys. I mean, they were just... They had a forearm in your back the entire game.
Yes, it was definitely a very physical game that did not go in our favor in the scorebook nor in on the court. So.
Well, Sammy D, I got a new segment within our segment here, so let me get it started.
All right.
Hey, welcome to Lou Tunes. This is where I talk about my favorite bands and music. Lou Tunes. Let's get it on with Lou Tunes. You know, I was thinking week, if I had to schedule a festival, I was trying to think of my top three artists. And Sam, I know you've been wondering about this. Night one... I'm going to have...
I have. Night one. What's night one?
Night one, Ronnie James Dio. You know, Holy Diver, Rainbow in the Dark. I liked his turn in Black Sabbath, replacing Ozzy. But his solo work is amazing. Ronnie James Dio, night one. Night two, VH, Van Halen, of course. And I know what you're thinking. It's cliche. Running with the devil. But I'm really more of a Sammy guy.
Right.
You know, and so...
You're a Sammy Van Halen
I'm a Sammy. Right now, not tomorrow. Anyway, yeah, big Sammy guy. Love Sammy, the Red Rocker.
Okay.
And all then
right. Yeah, night... Can't drive 55, right?
Night three, of course, has to be the Queen, Kelly Clarkson. And I know what you're thinking, but she's an amazing songwriter. I mean, just look at the Breakaway album. You got Breakaway, Since You've Been Gone, and of course, what's that song about, I can't remember. It's, you know, the other side of the street, because of you, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yes.
It's like really, it's really dark.
Oh, what is it?
Because of You, that's what it's called.
It is because of you.
It's
right,
really dark, and I love darkness. So it's so it's amazing. I love it. So it's Dio, it's VH with Sammy, and then Kelly Clarkson bringing it home. And that's your Lou Tunes segment. Segment within the segment. How about that? It's like we have a bit inside of a bit. I know, it's the kind of stuff you expect from the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast. And, let me finish it here.
Well, Lou,
let's get it on.
Yeah. I'm saying it right now, you're not coming on next week's episode.
Oh, well, we'll see.
We're getting a win at UMass, and then we're coming home because I will be in the building. I am bringing the hope. I'm bringing hope alive to all the Rambler fans and bringing home the W against Dayton.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you've been pretty cocky the last couple weeks, considering you've won, one out of four games?
Yes, but
where does this optimism come from, Sam?
I don't know, but I just, you know what? I heard a great podcast this last week, and I'm believing in my future self. So what, you know, my future self, I believe will win the A-10, not this year, but in years to come. And I believe that you know, things are going to happen this coming week that are going to prove that prophecy, and they'll make it come true. So I'm believing in my future self.
I kind of fell asleep there, Sam. I kind of lost you. So, I'm going to play the music and get out of here. I got some saints to torture. I've been watching, How to Get Away with Murder on Netflix. It's a pretty good show. So there's also a horrible Reese Witherspoon movie that is now launched on Netflix, which I gotta catch up on.
I think that's on the list. So all right, Lou, thanks for coming.
Did we lose him?
Okay, I think he's gone.
Yes, he has left. Lou the Dark Lord stepping in, delivering as usual, just like DoorDash does it at Duquesne.
Lou bringing the content. He had a segment produced within his segment. That's I mean that's pretty amazing.
Our producers are evidently big Lou fans, so I need to get with them to say, hey, what? How about some bits for Sammy D? But so evidently they like Lou. So
well, Sam, as I've told you in our meetings beforehand, the creative meetings, pitch your ideas. One of these days, an idea is going to.
It's going to come.
An idea is going to come. I think it would be shocking for people because of your image as a positive, nice guy, former youth pastor. I think it would be shocking for the Two Ramblers audience to know that you did kind of come up with the Lou, the Dark Lord bit.
I did.
Was kind of your idea. You remembered an old Stephen Gary bit from the
I did, yes,
from the 80s or 90s.
From the 80s. That's an 80s callback. Yeah.
So it was kind of your thing, because someone the other day said, hey, Dubber, boy, that's a dark bit that you came up with. I go, hey, I'm just trying to follow Sam. It was Sam's idea. All right,
so everyone, you're welcome.
Let's get into matchup number one. Last Wednesday,
yeah,
St. Joseph's, the UIC of the East Coast,
the UIC of Philly.
Yes, and this game was so painful to watch. I'm going to give you a little sight and sound, and then we'll get into the details.
Please do, because you and Uncle Jeffy were there. The dynamic duo. I have visual proof of it. I forgot to post it on Twitter, but I sent it to you guys, the brothers in the house. So,
yeah, we were sitting there, and at first, you know, the game was kind of going along. It. I think we had a little bit of a. Didn't we have a lead in the first half?
Yes.
So we were doing pretty good, and I didn't think anyone from St. Joe's was there. I didn't think there was anyone there. And then all of a sudden I noticed when we were shooting our free throws, this one section to the right of me, now I'm in 202, which is in the middle. So this would have been, I don't know the numbers real well, probably like 204 or 205, like to the
right. That sounds right.
To the right of me. And all of a sudden I started hearing them making noise. Like, and I couldn't quite make out what they were saying at one point. And then I realized at one point, they're chanting an Eagles chant, like E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, when we're shooting free throws. And of course, you know, because we're not the best free throw shooting team, I think it actually affected some of the, I think it kind of threw some of the guys off. I don't know.
I would, because you wouldn't expect it, because usually for Rambler games at home, it's deathly quiet for when they're shooting. So yeah, to hear something come up would be crazy. Yeah.
And of course, you know, they were really classy too, because they were chanting Eagles. Then at one point while we're shooting free throws, they're chanting last place, which I'm just like, you know, this league, this A-10 league, you know, it's funny. I just mentioned this to one of the St. Louis Twitter guys that they were actually kind of saying, hey, it's going to be really funny when the Two Ramblers podcast Twitter handle starts making more memes and joking. And I said, you know, to be honest, I don't know these teams that well. The hatred is going to come, though. And the hatred is coming. I now hate St. Joe's. I freaking hate
everything. The vitriol is brutal.
I freaking hate everything about St. Joe's now.
Yeah.
I you know, it's funny. I went to Philly a couple years ago. I had a nice experience visiting.
Yes.
It's kind of like us a little bit. It's a second city. It's not New York.
But, yes, exactly.
But the brotherly love has ended.
Oh, no.
This St. Joe's team, I never want to lose to them again.
Again. Yep.
And their fans, preach. I just, I, they're not quite at Bradley level, but that when they were chanting
close,
when they were chanting last place and chanting the Eagles, like they're taking credit for the Eagles. They have nothing to do with the Eagles. Right? They're not
exactly.
They're not even the best Catholic school team in that town. I mean, they literally are like what there's like what they got the Temple Owls, they got the
LaSalle Explorers.
LaSalle's there too?
Yes.
I this is kind of funny. This is kind of like ignorance, but I literally did not know what state LaSalle was from.
I agree with you. I
knew.
I still, think I knew that only because I don't even know why. Oh no, I knew it because I was looking at the schedule and the games around the East Coast. So I was like, oh, I maybe could go up to see LaSalle. Oh, hey, they're in Philly. How about that?
Well, and they got Nova then, too, yeah. Right? They got LaSalle. So we got LaSalle, Temple, Nova.
The big dog. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, St. Joe's. Yeah. So I
agree with you, Dabber.
And it got so they were really loud at one point, and I kind of got flustered to the point where I just stood up, looked over at their section, and yelled "Shut up!" as loud as I could, and of course I'm in section 202, so right, I get
everyone
so I got down upon you. I got side eyed by some old Rambler fan again with a scarf on, a different guy. So I've literally now pissed off two old guys in my section just because I'm defending the Ramblers. Like
exactly.
And again, I've told my wife this, you know, I live in Skokie, which is a town that is kind of like the little brother of Evanston and the little brother of Wilmette and the North Shore. We're not exactly right.
Yep.
The greatest in sports.
You're looked down upon on the North Shore. Yes.
Yes. And not only that, when we go to games, our parents and our fans aren't like cocky. They're not not like Trevians or like these North Shore teams. They're not cocky. So they're kind of quiet. So I'll cheer loudly and it's super conspicuous because no one else is cheering.
Exactly.
And this is the same problem that I have in 202. If that section was full of big fans, we'd be yelling chants to that team, to the opposing fans. We'd be yelling at them, right?
Right.
We would be getting into some sort of interchange, right? But yes. No, I'm the only one. So I'm getting side-eyed by our own fans because they don't like that I'm yelling loudly.
Right.
By the way, I also was going off on a guy named Njike Obina. I did not know he had his first name on his jersey though. They were calling him Obina on the broadcast, but on the back of his jersey it says Njike. So I was just yelling Njike the whole time. I was yelling at him to stop pressing because he was literally there was one point, and I tried to find this. I went back and watched it. There was one point where he picked Marquise Towns up like a rag doll and just moved him over. Like, here, let me move you out of the way here. I think it was Marquise or somebody like that, but he literally just kind of scooped them up, took them a couple feet over to kind of clear a lane. And he was doing this the whole game. He had hands on our team the entire game.
Yes.
He was pushing in the back, the whole deal.
And yet only two personal fouls.
Yeah. I'll say one.
It's a point of emphasis that the hand check.
I'll say one other thing.
Except when it comes to St. Joe's.
I'll say one other thing that I saw, and again, I couldn't figure out. This is real time, so I didn't know who it was. There was one point where Jalen Quinn was defending an inbound pass, and you know how when they run around in the inbound pass, they just they're circulating, they're kind of trying to get themselves open.
Yes.
Well, one of the guys on the runaround, when he comes by Jalen Quinn, just punches him in the back. I mean,
really?
it looked like a closed fist right in the back, like as he swung at him as he kind of came by, just kind of like, hey, we're here. And I'm thinking, boy, if you're defending an inbound pass and you get hit in the back, that's got to throw you off a little bit. Meanwhile, that was just business as usual for the guys from Philly. We just play like we're from the Metro YMCA. I mean, it was just like completely, I grew up in the city. I'm used to this kind of play, but
yeah,
but we've been watching NCAA where they're calling hand checks on us all the time, where we're, where we have these.
Yeah, we're
huge,
getting all the ticky tack fouls.
Yeah, we're getting all these. Yeah, we're getting all these ticky tack fouls, and now we're playing like this. Like I could not understand how this team kept getting away with all these fouls. I mean, hey, I'm used to this kind of game. It's just call it both ways, or let us play our defense and not and don't penalize us.
Right.
So, but yeah, we were getting over physical in this game. I think it's actually a good learning game for us because this was pretty physical. This is more physical than any MVC game I saw. Maybe SIU is the only one I could think is as physical as this.
Yes, that was definitely SIU like. It's just that they had offensive weapons unlike SIU. But I mean, yeah, that game was. I mean, it was tight up until the last. I mean, 68-70. Yeah, the last it was 71 all with 3.5 minutes left, and then we never scored again.
And what point was this wasn't the game where we had the technical at the end, right? That was the previous game, right?
Yes,
but then there was like a huge like in the next game, right? And in the Richmond game, there was like a weird. There was a weird
foul where they had like a seven point trip.
Yeah.
Where was it in my notes? Led by three. We led by three going into the trip down and we end up coming back losing by five or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, St. Joe's, what did you see in that game?
Well, I was impressed that, you know, Megan McCown was, you know, the color analyst, although I learned a new lingo, butt to gut is how you box out. We struggled to do that. We got
butt to gut. I invented butt to gut. That's my freaking move right there.
I know.
I think you need to go
teach that to Tommy and say, hey, buddy, butt to gut, let's go.
Yeah, when I saw Njike Obi in a plane, I went, that looks like a young Dauber plane. Butt to gut and then moving screens. That's what I'm known for, the moving screen, because I'm not fast enough to actually get in place. And set a pick, I just move. I just move with the man.
Exactly. The thing I saw was not enough. Like, you know, Jamero had his 1,000-point dunk. So congrats to him on 1,000 points for a career. You know, he had a great block and a great Euro step, but then that was it, you know, or, you know, Marquise, you know, he was in for 30 minutes and was like, did he play? You know, same thing with Phil. I thought like he was in foul trouble, but maybe not because I only see him with one foul, but like just not enough. You know, Tom Welch, you know, milk carton game, 18 minutes and, you know, just kind of three or four from the line. So it's just a lot of those, you know, stuff where it's just like, granted, Braden went off and my notes I put in there, you know, basically it was an FU to Dauber say, I am an ice cold killer but it was just like, where has this game been? Like, I need you to play like
ice cold.
I want you to play like that every game and started from the jump. And so, but yet no one else jumped up with him and just felt like there was just a lot of, they took it to us. And then that final 12, I mean, they went on a 12-0 run to close out the game. And our only points in the final 5 minutes were free throws, which
I'm happy to be proven wrong any day by Norris. I'm definitely happy to be proven any day wrong by him. And, you know, Coach did seemingly mentioned that he's getting him back next year. He seemed pretty confident that
at the end of the game, after the game, he's like, I'm ecstatic that he'll be my point guard next year, which, okay.
And I think the way he's been playing the last couple games, I'm happy about that too.
Right.
As soon as he shaved, essentially, he got better.
Yes,
so let's keep the baby-faced assassin. Isn't that what we call him? Or the
yes, baby-faced assassin.
The baby. Let's keep the baby-faced assassin, and then maybe a little bit of a chip on the shoulder. I don't know. I think he's been playing a little more with a chip on his shoulder. And I think I've loved seeing him play the last few weeks. What's kind of funny, though, you mentioned Tom Welch. I almost feel like he played above expectations at the beginning of the year. You were kind of on him, like thinking, oh, this isn't going to last. And then now it's not lasting. Something.
Yeah, he hit a wall, or teams have figured him out, and he is no longer the 6-for-8 or 4-for-5 games. I mean, in this game, yeah, he was 0-for-2.
Yeah.
And 0-for, and then, okay, I'm going to say this right now. I understand the point of it, but I find it somewhat annoying. The 5 is not meant to shoot a 3, especially when Braden Norris, who's a lifetime 45% shooter from 3, is near you. You give him the ball. He needs to shoot 20 times a game, for crying out loud. Because if he hits 40% of those, that's eight three-pointers. So it's like, you need to shoot 20 times. Bryce, Tom, Huddy, love you. Get your butt down to the rim and stay down there. Don't come out but a three-point line, because it's not helping. You know, chucking up from 3, like, yeah, Bryce was 1-for-4. I'm sorry, dude. If you can take 1, that's great. But 4? No. Give those other 3 to Norris and allow him to shoot. I'm done with the cuteness of the 5 shooting the 3. Like, no. If I have Braden Norris and Ben Schweiger and Phil Alston, who is now a 40% three-point shooter, give them the ball. I want them shooting it. I don't want you.
Yeah, and Bryce the other day chucked up a deuce. I guess he had his foot on the line. So it was kind of like, great, you took that big risk and got 2 points out of it.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. You know, there are these big men who can shoot the 3, and it's part of their game. But let's face it, none of those 3, it's not part of their normal game, and they really just need to focus on doing the things you need a big man to do. And when they miss, it's almost always loss of possession. We're not getting any rebound after.
Yeah, because they're out there, everyone else is away from the rim.
Right.
So they're shooting to basically the opposing team. So it's like, I understand the threat of it. And now that everyone has the threat, like, hey, they may shoot, but okay, pump fake and then pass it to somebody who can actually shoot.
Yeah. The only other pass that the other thing I was annoyed the other day, I think it was in the game on Saturday, where Braden passed up an open 3,
exactly,
to send it to Jameel, who has a 25% lifetime average shooting 3s.
Well, no, actually, no, that's incorrect. That is that your stats wrong. It's 25% this year.
I'm sorry, this year.
But overall, he is a 42% from 3 for his career. So okay. I am not a fan of Braden passing the ball up. Stop passing the ball up. Shoot. You need to be shooting 15 to 20 times a game from now on.
Right. Well, any plays stand out to you or players of the game in this St. Joe's turn? I know we don't normally give away awards for losses, but this was a pretty good game for about 35 minutes.
Exactly. Yes. There was about the 7-minute mark of the second half. Kennedy steals, and then right after that, the Norris 3, and then Benny buckets let me pull it up. It was just a great, great movements of the ball. It was like, okay, this is what I'm talking about. There was, 3-pointer by Norris, what made it close. We were down by that point. And then a layup by Schweiger, you know, pulled it up, and then another followed up by then the 3-pointer by Norris, where we took the lead with 7 minutes left. And you thought, you know, okay, this is where we close out the game. And then we don't really score again at that point. They basically got a couple free throws, another layup, and then it's like we lost how to score after that. It was one of those moments of just like, okay, this is what Loyola basketball can be, from a defense leading to offense. And then, you know, Braden just, you know, draining threes was, you know, really awesome to see, and his team get in the ball. And so just, you want to see that more and more. And there's it just flashes of brilliance in that game when Braden scored. There's a number of, you know, passes to him. It was kind of the hockey passes kind of thing, or hockey assist, where it's one pass, two pass, the three. And so it's what's encouraging, even though this was a loss and I'm getting animated, but it's just like, you can see it where it's like, okay, we're getting it. We're improving. You know, to use the language you used in a few episodes ago, I'm measuring the gain. And it's going, it's starting to, you know, we're trying to figure out how to win in the A-10. And so that's exciting. It was in the Richmond game. But the thing I thought hilarious about my favorite moment of the St. Joe's game was early on in the game. St. Joe's is doing out of bounds right in front of Sign Girl, and she starts chirping at the, you know, St. Joe's guy, and he turns around and, you know, talks to her, and all of a sudden she goes white. I mean, it was just kind of like, whoa, hey, they actually heard me. And so I was like, so I tweeted it out, Sign Girl getting in their heads early. And so she was in rare form.
You don't ever hear when I'm talking. I think that's the problem with Zoom. I think you don't hear when I'm talking.
Well, hold your hand up and I'll stop talking.
Stop talking for a second.
I stopped talking.
Listen. I'm going to mute you in a second. It's like, you just keep talking. You're like filibustering here. Cece, I think, had to raise her game up because another girl showed up with gopheralls on. Someone else showed up with the red and maroon overalls. And she was getting on the Jumbotron and she was cheering.
Oh,
and I think Cece's like, I got to up my game. So she starts yelling at players and that was pretty funny. Well, I think I'm going to give the Hammer Haws player of the game to a guy who I don't think he's ever gotten it. I'm giving it to Braden Norris, and I know he's a starter. Yes. I know he's a starter, but I think the intensity that we've been seeing from Braden Norris over the last couple of games, especially after this challenging season, I mean, he looks like he's making people pay. And when you go 7 for 9 from 3-point line, he's not going to get that every night. He's not going to get a guard who plays off him. This team that we were playing, they were not that good. They beat us. They bullied us. And they beat us, which is, you know, great for them. But they were not better than us. This was definitely a team that we should have beaten.
They mucked it up to win. So credit to them, they won, but they mucked it up. That was not a game. Was like, oh my gosh. I mean, the Reynolds guy went off in the second half, so I was a little annoyed by that. But yeah, you're right. Braden, he played. And then to think about it too, it's like normally his games are 38, 39 minutes. This was 31. He played 31. He scored 25 points. So that was really efficient basketball on his part. Awesome to see.
Yeah, and I also feel like, too, I feel like this game actually helped us in the next game. I think Jalen Quinn's minutes in this game, I think, you know, he had a big game in the next game that we're going to talk about.
Right.
But I think it was partly due to the fact that he got some minutes in this game, and this is a game... I think this was a game that is one that's going to toughen us up a little bit. I will say that St. Joe's was really good at getting to rebounds. They were really good at getting to 50-50 balls. I don't know if it shows up on the stat sheet, because I look at the stats. They look pretty close. Like, we look pretty close to them.
Well, this is the thing that the stats were. It's kind of like we lost in the rebound battle 40-32. But that's because they had 18 offensive rebounds. They literally almost had the same amount of offensive as they had the defensive.
Yeah. I mean,
you cannot have that.
There's a guy who sits next to me in my seats, and I don't know his name, but he wears a Baltimore Orioles jacket to every game. So I don't know what the Baltimore Orioles connection is. But he turns to me and he's like, we're not getting any of these offensive rebounds. Like, and he was totally right. That was, it was like glaring when we were in person. You could just see it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to the next game here. I want to say, of all the games that we played this season, I think I was the most dejected after we lost this game. I don't know what it was about this game, but I felt like we were going to get over. When you have five starters in double digits, and you're playing to the last possession with, you know, I mean, within a basket and you lose, it's painful. And I'm sick of moral victories. I don't want any more moral victories. I want a few Loyola wins where we punch the A-10 in the mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. Case in point, we were coming down, with, where was it? Schweiger got the, is this where it was? Yeah. Schweiger got the layup. We were down one, and it was like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, you know, they come down, they miss, we get the ball. Where is it? I can't find it now. And it's like, Schweiger then goes up or gets the ball, gets the rebound, or gets the pass out from the rebound. He gets fouled. And you're thinking, oh, hey, we're going to take the lead and we're going to have the lead going into the last 2 minutes of the game. And he missed the free throw. It was a, you know, 1-1. And it was like, oh, you know, and it was that moment where you thought, oh, this is where they're going to take over the game. And they just couldn't get it done. And it just, yeah, it hit you right in the gut. Cause you thought, oh, this whole game, they were going to, you know, they had these runs where they would get it back within two or get it back within three. And you think, oh, this is with a moment. And then Richmond would, you know, have a couple baskets. And that was the moment where it's like, hey, now they're down one and Ben's going to be on the line. He's going to hit two. And we just couldn't do it.
Yeah. And I mean, these two games, are just indicative of missing the front end of 1-1s.
Right.
Even sometimes when I look at the stat sheet afterwards, I see the other team miss some free throws too, but I swear to God, I feel like we miss really important free throws. And I feel like these other teams, it's not an issue for them. That when they miss a free throw, it's the exception. Like, it's like,
exactly.
Really, it's like, oh man, this guy shoots 79%. He just missed one. That's crazy.
Right.
Whereas with us, it's kind of like, wow, 54%. Wow. You know,
yeah.
Coin flip. And I also feel like this all season long too, with these open 3-point shots. When another team gets a completely open three, I feel like, I want to say 75% of the time they nail it. Yep. Even in this game, they left one guy open, he shot a three, and the announcer said, you know, in this Division I basketball, an open guy like that, that's like a layup.
Right.
And I feel like it's not quite a layup for us. Like, sometimes Schweiger's on, sometimes Braden's on, but the rest of us, it's like, there's no guarantee. So these other teams are making these quality threes, and then they're making their free throws. That's what it looks like, yep, to me, at least over the season. And sometimes we go on runs and it's great and it looks like, you know, Loyola of old. And then other times it's like we're kind of struggling with the basics. Open three, we brick it. Front of a 1-1, we brick it. And I maybe that's just inexperience, tiredness, tired legs, whatever it is. But, you know, I'm hoping we can take another step next season in these areas, because I feel like we need it to compete in this league. And Drew's, yeah, Drew's mentioned, you know, they're leaving guys open and thinking that they're going to show up with their stats, but without a hand in their face, all of a sudden they become a better 3-point shooter.
Yeah, I mean, guys that were like 3 for 24 the whole season, all of a sudden are hitting 4 or 5. It's like, yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. But, you know, I think those would become mute points if we don't have the turnovers, or like just the head-scratching turnovers that we have, and we make our free throws. But even that, even if we would have made our free throws and we went 11 for 11, we still, they went 16 of 19. So they still outscored us by 5. And then that's, again, that's the infuriating thing. It goes back to, you know, Porter days, and Coach Drew talks about it a lot. But we need to take more free throws, or make more free throws than they take. And that, I that it was rarely happened this season. And this was a case in point where they literally made 16 to our 7. That's 9 points. There's the ball game.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing too, who is it, Tyler Burton?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah,
duh.
Yeah, he's good. And I think, God, these announcers really got it. I really love these kind of more national type games.
Yeah, ESPNU guys, yeah.
Well, I mean, and someone was talking about Burton really worked on his body, and he's got more of a pro body now. Like, can he make it in the NBA? Maybe, maybe not. But it's like he's getting to that level.
Well, yeah, and this is something they said in the broadcast, but he's 23.
Right.
Well, he's going up against, you know, Schweiger, who's 18.
Okay, like, you're literally taking the next thought out of my mouth. Thank you. Thank you, Sammy D. No, it's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, I mean, look at the difference between Schweiger and Burton. That's kind of the difference between Loyola and Richmond right now is,
yes,
we have a talented player who's 18, has an 18-year-old body against a very talented guy with a, you know,
he's a man,
a man with, you know, and that's the difference. That's a difference right there. And you see it with Jay Quinn too. I mean, these guys just haven't had the minutes. They haven't had the banging. They haven't been as in a league that's this competitive. As we mentioned, you know, last year, Jay Quinn is playing kids from downstate, which, you know, no offense to downstate.
Springfield Central.
Right. He's playing kids from downstate. Last year, Schweiger is playing, you know, albeit he might have been covering Lucas at different points, or he might have been covering Marquise or Braden. You know, he was playing against Ramblers last year.
Right.
And Tyler Burton would be starting for us. Like,
yeah, Tyler Burton declared for the NBA draft, went through the process, and decided, I'm going to go back.
Yeah. So Tyler Burton is at a higher level than pretty much any player we've had in the last 2 years on our team.
Speaking of the national broadcast team, Dobber, did you catch John Williams at the beginning of the broadcast as they were highlighting Burton and Alston? He called them out as, he's a manimal. It's like, yeah, we're getting some national run.
Someone's What's been up? Reading our Twitter. Hello. Oh, look who's here. We got a guest.
Can you say hi?
Who is that?
Hi.
Hey, can you say go Ramblers? Wait, she can't.
What?
I need go Ramblers. Can I get a go Ramblers? Okay, she's shy now. All right.
Go Ramblers.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Awesome. Wonderful. That's my wonderful niece, Elsa. With the Go Ramblers. Okay. Put your father back on. Give him back the headphones. Okay. All right. Give him back the headphones.
Oh, my.
Okay. For some reason, my internet connection got unstable right as she was, you know, you were talking to her.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Let's give out a couple of words and get out of here. I hate talking about losses.
Yes.
I hate talking about losses this long, but. Who do you got for your Hammer Haws player of the game?
It would be very easy for me to say, I really love Schweiger's game. I thought he had the monster dunk. It was probably my JB's player of the game. But I'm going to go Jalen Quinn. I thought JQ, he had a great game. He looked real confident and sharp. And I think if that's what we're getting in the years to come, I'm excited to have the two of those guys along with JD and then Trey coming in next year as a red shirt.
Yeah, I me too. If anybody, anybody the two Ramblers can get it behind, it's Jalen Quinn. I mean, he wears the two.
Right.
I've thought about bringing a big two to the games to just hold it up as kind of a joke, like two, you know, like we're a big Jalen Quinn fan. But yeah, if Jalen Quinn becomes a starter and is scoring double digits, I definitely would get behind holding up a two every game.
Right.
So I thought the same. And again, you know, I dapped him up, you know, after our last game, and I didn't really dap him up. I just said hi.
But I mean, to his credit, 33 minutes.
Yes.
He played 30, and then Schweiger played 38 minutes. I mean, that's awesome.
Quality minutes for both of those
guys. That means they're playing, you know, a huge chunk of the game that coached, you know, because you, if you're not playing defense, you're not playing.
Right.
And that means they, and Drew called it, Coach Drew called it out after the post game, talking about Schweiger's defense has really stepped up the last couple of games. And I think the same was for Jalen. His speed, his quickness is definitely something that we can lean upon in these final seven games. And so exciting to see for the final stretch and then into the A-10 tournament.
Well, and shout out to Braden Norris in this game, too. I mean, we've made a comment that Phil Alston is essentially a rookie with this level of play.
Right.
And Braden is starting with Jalen Quinn, who, again, was playing in Springfield last year, or Peoria, or wherever. What town is he from?
Tuscola.
Macoma.
Tuscola.
Tuscola. He was playing in a town called Tuscola last year.
Right.
Schweiger's a redshirt freshman. And Phil Alston's a rookie.
He was playing in a
D1 rookie.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, Braden Norris is playing with Bryce Golden, who albeit has lots of minutes, lots of time on the court.
Right.
But to the fact that the five of these guys go out and get double digits.
Yeah.
And Braden is kind of, you know, orchestrating and keeping these guys together and telling him where to go. And we honestly, the bench was kind of a little light in this particular game. I mean, we had 4 points off the bench. So
yeah, off the milk carton, Sheldon Edwards got in his first game since January.
Yeah, and they said on the ESPN it was a coach's decision. So I don't know what that was right, about.
I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, but, so anyway,
in that with Braden, the thing that I was really kind of like, what was that? His first points came with 4 minutes left in the first half. Like, and I think that might've been his first or second shot, which he ended up getting 4 of 7, but I'm like, you got, I need you to be hit, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 shots a game somehow.
You know, I agree with that, but there are going to be games where he has to play point guard and he has to orchestrate. Right. And believe me, I know Braden Norris wants to win. And if Braden Norris sees an opportunity for Schweiger to get 17 and there's just easy buckets, backdoor cuts.
Yes.
He's going to take it. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know. He only had 2 assists. So you'd love to see those assist numbers go up a little bit. If he's
both him and Quinn had equal number of assists to turnovers, which that's got to change.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would love to see some more assists. Because I think, you know, those point guards who get the gaudy assist numbers are finding guys cutting to the hoop. They're finding guys in really ideal spots for high percentage shots. And when our guards aren't getting quality assist numbers, that's what it says to me. They're not finding a way to find that guy who has the easy path to the basket. And that's Dobber's take. Brought to you by Kinko's on Sheridan Road.
Yeah, but
that's where I worked. That's where I worked.
No, but freshman year. Yes. Oh man, way back in the day. But yeah, I mean, this game we were totally backdoor to death in the first half, but then we corrected it in the second half, and I thought played a great defensive game in was exciting to see them come back where they were down and they came back. They even took a lead and it was, you know, it was tight. And so again, I loved what they did, but we were at different points inflicted by our own, you know, mistakes, turnovers, and the fact that we were not getting to the foul line. You know, Norris, he didn't take any foul shots. Like drive to, you know, just get to the bucket, you know, do your patented where you drive into guys and all of a sudden get a foul. So it was just, that's what I thought was kind of like, oh man.
Yeah. And then of course that 7-point sequence, I don't remember all the details of it, but man, that I wish we could have that sequence back. We can't afford, it's kind of reminds me of when a team in the NFL gets kind of they're down and they're not quite as good as the other team, and then all of a sudden they start getting these penalties, and you give Patrick Mahomes another shot at it, he's going to make it. You know, you give him another 15 yards when you were trying to get off the field as a defense, they're going to make it. And I feel like that's with us. We can't get technicals. We're not that team that can get a technical and kind of roll back. We can't get a technical. We got a technical in the St. Joe's game. One of the coaches did, or somebody. We can't give away a technical. We just can't. We can't give a team open free throws because they're going to make them, and the ball.
Right.
Because it's going to be a 4-point swing.
Yeah. The in my notes, I put in, you know, Richmond attacked Alston and fouled him out. You know, that's exactly what you're supposed to do when a guy, their best player gets four fouls, you go right at him, and he fouled out.
Burton had four fouls, and we're just running around him.
Yeah, we're running around him. I was like, what in the world? And he played the whole game.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he never came out.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I might have missed him, but no, he played 40 minutes with four fouls. So that means he had three, and he might have got the third and the fourth in the late in the second half, but yet we didn't go at him. We missed a 1-1. Then they come down, they make their 1-1, and then we had back to back turnovers. That was an 8-point swing right there. It felt like.
Well, and it's a shame that late in the game we couldn't bring T.Y. Johnson off the bench. Did you see him getting that scuffle yesterday?
No, I didn't.
You got to check this out on Twitter. Their team's down like 15 points to UC Santa Barbara. And he gets pushed down after a play. And it was kind of egregious. He gets up and has some words for the guy. And then they put hands on one another. And he just goes into this clutching grab. And then they roll down on the floor and they knock out the first row of seats and bench clear. I mean, it's pretty big. But Ty Johnson, somehow, even though he's little, he ends up on top of the other guy. Like, he rolls him. So I was pretty proud of that. And they said, T.Y. Johnson from Chicago. They give him a lot of credit. And I'm thinking, didn't he go to Gordon Tech? DePaul Prep?
He did.
That's not exactly like the mean streets of Addison. I mean, DePaul Prep, come on.
Oh yeah, here I'm watching it right now.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. You can watch it on Twitter some other time.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, it knocked over people. Oh my gosh.
All right,
here we go.
Look forward a couple games. I got wings in the oven. I got to pull up for the Super Bowl.
All right,
Bowl,
yeah, so. Let's go. Coming forward, we got UMass on Valentine's Day, and then we got and then the big game on Friday against Dayton, the U.S. Army sponsored game, the Gentile Arena, ESPN2. The return of Sammy D to the Gentile. Very exciting.
Right. Everyone in Rambler Nation is excited by that. When you see a thinner, taller, balder version of Dauber, it's Sammy D. So, and no glasses, right? You don't wear the glasses.
Don't wear glasses.
So, it'll be great to have you there. We're going to be at the alumni reception. So if anyone's going to be at the alumni reception, say hi. Look for Dauber and then the guy taller next to him. That's Sammy D. And then a couple of old guys.
White-haired guys. Yeah.
His father-in-law and my dad. So, all right. Well, let's play the music and get out of here.
Get your wings.
Well, you've been listening to the Entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. For the analyst with the attention to detail and a dog named Ginger, Sammy D, this is Dauber, the host with the jokes, saying goodbye, farewell, and go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers.
Wait, I didn't get that.
Go Ramblers.
I think your mic is going out now.
Go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers. There you go.
Maybe I'm too loud. Too fired up.